Our first reading this evening comes from Exodus chapter 13. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is born first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine." Then Moses said to the people, "When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of the donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' you shall say to him, 'By a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 111, and we'll read it responsively. It's found on page 4 on the back of your bulletin. Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart.
In the company of the upright, in the congregation.
Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them.
Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever.
He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered.
The Lord is gracious and merciful.
He provides food to those who fear him.
He remembers his covenant forever.
He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations.
The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy.
They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness.
He sent redemption to his people.
He has commanded his covenant forever.
Holy and awesome is his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever.
Our epistle reading, or second reading, comes from Colossians chapter 3, and this is about the spiritual clothing for Christians. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the time came for their purification, that is that of Mary and Jesus, according to the law of Moses, they, that is Joseph and Mary, brought him, Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you all for joining. I usually begin young people's messages by saying good morning, but that would be wrong, wouldn't it? So I'm going to say good evening, and you're going to say?
Good evening.
That's right. So, good evening. Good. Hi, I'm glad you're here. Thanks for joining us. Is Christmas over?
Yes.
Take another guess.
Oh, no.
Take a guess. Do you think Christmas is over?
No.
That's right. Why not? Well, the 25th was Christmas Day, but it's a season and not just a day. What was the most important thing so far for you? Did you get a few gifts? Did you eat only macaroni and cheese?
No.
No. What did you have for food? Anything good?
Ham, mashed potatoes.
Yeah, okay. I was thinking about a turkey, but I wasn't that ambitious as it turned out.
My scout likes macaroni and cheese.
I do too. I didn't mean to diss macaroni and cheese. I don't mean to do that. That's right. Well, what was important included food and family and fun. Anybody stay up a little later than usual? Mm-hmm. But what's important about Christmas? Have I hit it?
Jesus' birth.
That's right. Because Jesus is the reason for the season. Now, did you get distracted by a lot of things? By family? Were adults being silly sometimes? Sure. Were kids being silly? Mm-hmm. And it's all right to be silly, but we still remember Jesus. Is he a baby now? No. He's grown up and he lived and died and rose again and saves us. But we remember Jesus' birth because he's in charge of everything.
Yeah, because he was washing off our sins.
That's right. He washes off our sins. Is that okay if we pray? Would you fold your hands, close your eyes, and repeat after me? Dear Heavenly Father, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Jesus, who is the best Christmas gift. Who is the best Christmas gift. Help us love him back. Help us love him back. Even though we get distracted, even though we get distracted by food and fun and other things. By food and fun and other things. Thank you. Thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, Amen. Thank you. And you can go back to your seats. Could you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructs the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in the Spirit's consolations through Christ. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Christmas, huh? It's a mixed thing for most of us. I got my wife home from the care center where she'd been for 3.5 months on the 18th of December. And on the 19th, I started working at Faith Lutheran in St. Charles, which was special is about the only way I can describe it. And I've been having a wonderful time being there with them. But Wednesday of this week, when Kathy woke up, she couldn't get up. She was weak, having no strength and no balance. And her tracking was not good either. So Thursday, when the physician's assistant stopped by, all three of us agreed that if she's like that Friday, since I have to face weekends, like you all, that she would probably go back to a care center. And she was that week. So Friday afternoon, a transport came to take her over. Now, she's not happy, and for a while she blamed me today, but you've seen that happen before. And that happens because our memories don't work the way we think they do, usually. Anybody here know the word confabulation? I see some grins, yes. You all know what a fable is. I love Aesop. A fable is a story, which has a meaning, by the way. It's not a lie, even though it may be fiction. But our memories are not like a constant digital picture. It's more like the frames of the old non-digital style projectors, and sometimes the frame rate drops significantly and we have to connect the frames. And as we go through Alzheimer's in Kathy's case and other memory issues, we're making bad guesses about how the frames connect until the connections just aren't there. Kathy had put a denture on her breakfast plate beside her English muffins, and then she put her fixident on the English muffins. And she was trying to figure out what happened. I asked her, and she said, I don't know. I think our lives are quite often like that. Kathy is more typical than alien to us who think of ourselves as normal. Because it's so easy for us to be distracted by gifts and giving.
We adults enjoy the giving more than the kids do the getting sometimes. And with all the busyness and all the finances and all the distractions, and none of them necessarily evil, we forget about the reason for the season. And we are reminded tonight of the grace of God, both in law and gospel. The Word of God comes to us and functions as law, kind of whops us on the side of the head and tells me, I forgot. One of the three uses of the law, we Lutherans say, is kind of like a mirror. And when I look at it and say, I look like that? Now, I react more to hearing my voice recorded. I sound like that. I know myself visually, but I sound a lot different inside than I do when I hear a recorder playback. And we properly are horrified. We need God's word coming to us as law, saying, this is my expectation. I am a holy God, and my people are holy. And the subtitle in English means, you're in trouble. Because we do the best we can, and it ain't good enough. We do what we can, and we keep turning to God because simply obeying doesn't work. And Paul knew that, and Jesus knew and knows that. For that reason, Paul writes to the Colossian Christians, you got to wear Jesus. You got to put him on. Put him on as God's chosen ones, holy, beloved. You got to wear Jesus in the form of compassion, and it doesn't mean just feeling nice toward people, but actually caring for them. Kindness. I'm learning about kindness as Kathy calls me up, and then I call the center, and then I call Kathy back, just making sure. Humility. That involves tolerance, and tolerance doesn't mean what our culture calls it. It doesn't mean we go out marching in favor of something. Tolerance means I feel like vomiting, but I'll let you be who you are. Tolerance doesn't mean supporting. It means accepting over my own objections quite often. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving. God forgave you, so you're doomed. Doomed to forgiving. And then Paul writes about the binding and about the rule. Put on love, which binds us together in harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule. We're bound in love and ruled in love. I don't get to live the way I sometimes feel like it. And yet we confabulate. I've loved enough. That's enough. Just like with the kids. Take a guess. No. God seems to have no limits toward us, and we're called not to be limited toward others. You were called in one body, and be thankful. And Paul says that twice more in two more verses. Be thankful. Thanksgiving. The Eucharist, Holy Communion, it is the great thanksgiving. And we give God thanks. I give God thanks for Rochester East Health Service, where Kathy is right now. And I reminded her that she had to be thankful. Right now, Paul is reminding us that we are called to be thankful. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Praise and thanks, it blurs. The Hebrew and Greek words are blurring. and we praise God, or we bless God. That's another interpretation. We bless God. What? God's supposed to bless us? Yeah. But we bless God as we praise God and tell God what He's done for us. And we gather tonight to do that, as we remember with thanksgiving who our Lord Jesus is and who and whose we are ourselves. I had an unusual experience at the first of the two services at Faith of St. Charles. We finished, "O come all ye faithful." Boy, they could really sing too. And I got to the altar, the hymn finished, and I was all set to invite people to join in the prayer of the day when a young voice rang out nice and loudly, "Yay!" And it broke me up, and I told people, that kid knows what he's doing. Because we say yay no matter what the circumstances be, like Bob and Sherry with her pancreatic cancer, no matter my circumstances or my wife's circumstances. A friend of mine, a blessed memory, regularly would say, "We all owe God one death, and I figure I'm telling you, you're old enough not to be scared by that." That's not the tragedy in life. So often in life, the tragedy is how we live. Whether or not we wear Christ, and that is the symbolism behind the white garments, the albs that leaders often wear, washed in the blood of the Lamb, kind of like one of our young people said during the children's message. So tonight, we walk forward not because of our holiness, but because of our need. And yes, we are washed in forgiveness, and we still need strength for the day. I always need more strength. It's just sometimes I notice it. And I think that'll happen more and more often as I get older and older. At least I hope it does, because I need to be reminded. Tonight, Paul reminds us of obedience, which is a function of grace under law, and also grace under gospel. The good news of Jesus, born, placed in an animal food trough, come to die for us, for our salvation, and now lives and reigns. So we gather tonight, the eve of the sixth day of Christmas, and we say with that young kid, "Yay, thank you." And all God's people say, "Amen." Please rise as we join in our hymn number 52, Little Ones.